Fierce a fighter as Felbar's e'er known.
Again Brunner merely shrugged and held his hands up helplessly at a loss.
And ye ain't losing in your fights because you're fighting your betters, oh no, Muttonchops accused. You're losing because ye ain't trying to win. I seen it and I knowed it.
He rubbed his bloody ear again and spat onto the cobblestones, and there was a bit of blood in his spittle, too, from his bruised throat.
And ye just proved it.
But Brian's a tough one, then,
Brunner stuttered, trying to find some out.
Bah! Ye could have put him down. Ye just put meself down.
Brunner stammered over that dilemma.
Fighting for me, life, he tried to explain. Ye scared me crazy.
You're always fighting for your life, you little fool,
Muttonchops scolded, coming forward and poking a twisted old finger Brunner's way.
Always. Ye win 100 and lose but one, and you're dead, like your da.
Brunner started to respond, but thought better of it.
You're only losing in the class because ye don't care for winning. And what's you ween to say, then? How's she to tell Arar to rest easy under the stone of his cairn when his only child's a coward, then?
Brunner's eyes narrowed at that remark, and he had to call upon the wisdom and temperance of Moradin once more to stop from launching himself at the irreverent old warrior yet again. He didn't know where to go with this. He couldn't deny Muttonchop's observations, though surely the old veteran couldn't have been farther off regarding the motivation behind Brunner's half-hearted efforts. He held back not out of boredom, and surely not out of cowardice, but because he was hiding something, something he could not reveal. Not yet.
"I seen ye now, little R.R.," Muttonchop said. "I seen what ye can do, and I'm not for letting ye spend your fights running away and pretending with your trips and your stumbles. Ye do your da proud, I tell ye, or ye're to feel the broadside of that axe of yours slapping about your rump. Ye hear me, then?"
Brunner stared at him, not sure how to respond.
"Ye hear me, then?"
Muttonchops repeated emphatically.
"Do ye, little R.R.?"
"Reginald,"
Brunner corrected. Yes, it was time to make a stand.
"Eh?"
"Reginald is me name. Reginald Roundshield."
"Little R.R.?"
"Reginald,"
Brunner insisted.
"Your da was R.R.,"
Muttonchops started to say, but Brunner interrupted him.
"Me da's dead in cold under the stones."
That stole Muttonchop's voice, and the old dwarf stood staring blankly at the impudent whelp.
"But meself's here, and don't ye ne'er think again that I ain't to do him proud. Me name's Reginald, Reginald Roundshield, of the Felbar Roundshields. Ye wanted me to own it, that's why ye jumped me in the dark, and so I'll be owning it, but on me own terms and with me own name."
"Ye little rat,"
Muttonchops replied, but he seemed more surprised and pleased than angered.
"So ye send him at me next 10 day, Brunner insisted. "Start with Brian Argoot and send them all, one after another, or two together if that's your choice, or three or all together. And when I put them all down, one after another, then know that your class ain't teaching the son of R.R. nothing. Then ye move me along to the next class."
Muttonchops paused for a long while, staring at him, trying to gain a measure of him.
"Young dwarf warriors next class, and not dwarflings," he warned.
Brunner didn't blink, and matched Muttonchop's stare with equal intensity and more. He was surprised by his own anger, deep and profound, and his discomfort and anger were about more than the boredom of basic martial training, or the indignity of being attacked in the dark by this old codger. On one level, Brunner felt foolish for the path he had just taken, and yet he had no thought of turning back, not in the least.
"Ye got nothing to teach me with them dwarflings," he said.
Muttonchops assumed a less aggressive posture.
"So ye think ye can put them all down, eh?"
"All of them together, if that's your choice,"
Brunner replied.
"Might be."
Brunner didn't flinch. Indeed, he merely shrugged, already growing bored with this conversation.
"Ye best put a priest in the room," he said in all sincerity. "Know that them others are sure to need a bit of Dumathoin's Dwyamers a healing.
Mutton Chop started to respond, but instead reached up and touched his bleeding ear once more. And then with a grunt that was half growl and half snort, he turned and walked out of the lane. Brunner Battlehammer stood there alone in the dim light for a long, long while, considering the encounter and the one sure to come. Most of all, though, he considered his anger swirling within him. He was distinctly uneasy, and had been for as long as he could remember. This whole experience of his second chance at life hadn't been as he had expected. The years moved more slowly than he could have imagined when he had walked out of Iruladun. On that remote day, he had stepped from the forest to go to the aid of his old friend Drizzt, a friend he had left, by his reckoning, only a couple of days before, though it had been years in the time as measured by the living. But now Brunner had been away from Drizzt for nearly a decade by his own reckoning as well, and the energy and enthusiasm that had overcome him and allowed him to choose the return above a deserved rest in Dwarfholm had long faded. He was out of his time and out of his place, and terribly lonely and terribly agitated, and with more than a decade to go. He picked up his practice axe and set it over his shoulder, then headed for home. Mutton Chops was going to try to punish him, he knew, and probably would send the whole class charging at him in one wild frenzy the next 10 days. Should he back down, he wondered? Should he apologize to the old dwarf and explain his bluster away as a reaction to his lingering excitement and fear because of the ambush? The dwarfling let a wad of spit fly to the stone and stamped his booted foot on it as he stormed past. "Send them all together," he muttered under his breath, and in that instant, Brunner could well imagine a dozen dwarflings flying around like straws in a hurricane. No, he wasn't about to back down, and maybe when he finished with his peers, he'd give Mutton Chops a swat or 10 just to make a point. He shouldered through the door of his house, startling Yween, who turned on him with a scowl.
"So I be hearing that ye ain't much for fighting, are ye?" she scolded. "Ye thinking to make your da hang his bearded head in shame at Morit inside, are ye?
I'm thinking I'd rather be killing orcs than playing tap battle with a bunch of whining brats,"
Brunner roared back and stormed past her, leaving her so flustered that she couldn't even remember to swat him on the backside for his tone and backtalk. Chapter 8. Spider. The Year of the Third Circle, 1472, D.R. Delphuntal.
"Where'd he go?"